Hello, it's Richard Herring here. Welcome to my podcast feed, powered by Acast Plus. And my stand-up tour is about to begin. Can I have my ball back? First stand-up tour in 6 years. Many of you just know me from the podcast. Don't know, I've done 14 or 15 stand-up tours in my own right. I'm a brilliant stand-up comedian, and can I have my ball back? I think it's my best show ever. That's what the audiences are saying. It's about testicular cancer, but it's funny because testicles are funny even though cancer isn't. I'm really pleased with it. I'd love you to come and see it. Bring your friends. Some of the shows selling really well, some of them selling really badly. It's a traditional Richard Herring tour. But here's where I'm going to be. 2nd of May, Thursday at the Luton Hat Factory. It's a small venue, but there are still tickets left. 3rd of May, I'm at the Bury Hedge End, which is near Southampton. That's looking more full, but still some availability. 8th of May, I'm at the Leicester Square Theatre. There's about 10 tickets left for that one, though I am back at the Leicester Square Theatre in June. And then I'm at St Albans on the 9th, Gloucester on the 10th, Chorley Little Theatre on the 11th. That's sold out, but you can join the waiting list. And then the 12th of May, I'm at Glasgow. Afternoon show sold out. Evening show, extra show, put on, still with tickets. And then there's lots more. Go to richardherring.com/ballback/tour or richardherring.com/gigs. And now, enjoy whatever podcast I've given you. It's free. It's all for you. If you want to pay me back, buy a book, come and see a show. That's all I've got to say to you. Love you.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Leicester Square Theatre. Please welcome a man who is considering the whorish nature of gravity. It's Richard Herring! I'll make up some new jokes. I've lost my jokes. Hello, welcome to Richard Herring's Leicester Square Theatre podcast. Though I was talking to number 456 from off of the Squid Game the other day. He calls it Ralastapa. He's got some ideas on how we can make it a bit better than it is at the moment. The thing I was going to talk to you about was that I had written on a piece of paper and I don't have with me, so let's see how that goes, was the guy from who wrote the Countdown theme has died. I would have his name if I'd got the piece of paper. Alan Hawke something. Anyone know? Alan Hawkwind. That's his name. they all, in all the obituaries, they went on about how he wrote... Grange Hill, he wrote Countdown, he wrote the Channel 4 News. But they didn't go on about how he wrote the Give Us a Clue theme, did they? He wrote the original Give Us a Clue theme, which was the same as the Grange Hill theme. Does anyone remember? There's some old... Because it used to really confuse me as a kid that there were two shows with the same theme tune. Because do you imagine that they... That was also Give Us a Clue. So you couldn't work out how that had happened. But I thought it'd be funny if they sort of did all the obituaries and they realised that he'd just managed to sell the same tune to everyone and no one had noticed before getting the Countdown theme, of course. Be quite a good Countdown theme. Channel 4 News. Quite a good hiding in plain sight. He always put someone throwing a sausage in across at the same point. See, I managed it. I didn't need the piece of paper.
It was shit anyway. Right, let's crack on. Some of us ran 11 miles a week and a day ago. Probably yesterday's... Oh, God, don't confuse yourself. My guest this week is probably best known for her appearance in the audience of An Audience with Michael Bublé. That's why we all... But what has she done since then? Will you please welcome the amazing Deborah Meadle, ladies and gentlemen. Here she is. Deborah Meadle. Hello.
Hello, I can't believe you spotted me in the audience.
Do you remember going to see Michael Bublé?
Do I remember going to see Michael? I was with my mother, who was so excited. I've spent my life embarrassing my mother, but she totally out-embarrassed me. Brilliant.
And did you ask a question to Michael Bublé, or were you literally just in the...
I didn't. I thought he was looking at me all the time, and then I realised Holly Willoughby was sitting in front of me, and it wasn't me at all.
Good. Well, look, it's fantastic to have you on. I'm going to mainly just pitch ideas at you.
Oh, you see, I knew this. You did not say that when you invited me on.
I just thought it's easier than getting on the show. Mm. I've got a lot of good ideas. Mm. And, I'm prepared to give you them for 0% of the business. That's my clever way around it.
Well, give it a go then.
Okay. I'll do my first... My first real one that I think is quite good. I haven't worked on it. Men and women sometimes have hair gel. They put it there more in the 1980s than they do now, but it could come back. What if hair gel was also shampoo? So just you'd put it on, and when you got in the shower in the morning, you wouldn't need to have shampoo. I call it sham gel. So it works as hair gel. Then you get in the shower, and then it's shampoo. What do you think?
What do we think? Altogether
now?
Can't
know. You don't have people helping you on Dragon's Den. Yeah. It's good. It'd be good. If it rained, it might be problematic. That's the only thing.
Yeah,
I
it would. It would be
That's
slightly.
The only thing I can. All right. I won't do any more. So let's look. You're a Somerset girl, which I'm very excited about. So you're born in Somerset in Taunton.
Born in Taunton.
And you live now in Somerset.
I do indeed.
And I'm also from Somerset. I was going to say, this isn't really mine to pitch, but we did mention Cheddar Caves backstage. I was in Cheddar this summer, and Cheddar Caves are closed.
I can't believe that.
They closed them, because you said Wookie Hole was better backstage, but it doesn't matter. And I think you, with your background in leisure and entertainment, and you could buy that off the Lord Bath, the new Lord Bath, who you've worked with before.
Yeah, but why are they closed?
Because they don't know what to do with them. They like Longley, which you've been involved with in the past, haven't you? Yeah. I think they're putting all their efforts into Longley. This is what I've heard. I'm just through the grapevine. And so I think they've been looking for an excuse to close them. They closed them because of COVID, but then they haven't opened them back up again. I was in Cheddar Gorge this year and loads of people there, but no one going into the caves because the caves weren't open.
Oh, I did not know that.
So why don't you buy Cheddar Caves or just rent them off Lord Bath for a bit? And you could judge them up. And
Cheddar Cave. Actually, Thank you. I'll put that in my back pocket.
That's good.
And say, well, I wouldn't buy Cheddar Caves. Well, who would buy Cheddar Caves? And then I'll get it really cheap.
Okay.
Because nobody's going to want Cheddar Caves.
I think.
Damn, I just said that.
It's good to be honest. I honestly think it's perfect for you. It's very near to where you live anyway. You don't even have to travel very far.
Oh, you see, that is the downside, because I do have a rule. Okay. I don't have, because I can imagine the phone call, sorry, somebody hasn't turned up to take the tickets, and I will be in my car then.
Well, if you could, you do what the old man did. When I worked at the manager of Cheddar Caves, I worked at Cheddar Caves for a while, so I have a lot of interest in them. The manager, even though she was the manager getting paid a decent amount, would go down at lunchtime and take over and sell the tickets, but she started selling the roller tickets from the year before, which had different numbers on them, and then pocketing the money, and she got caught and got sacked.
Oh my goodness.
She must have made tens of pounds from that, Deborah.
Yeah, that's a little too enterprising, isn't it? Just a little too enterprising.
So I'm just saying, you could make some extra money there.
Did you hear about the guy from Bristol Zoo?
No.
The car park attendant at Bristol Zoo for years and years and years was taking money and giving people tickets until somebody went up and said, look, I can't find the ticket attendant. that I need to get a ticket. And they said, well, it's free parking. And he'd been there. And that I think it's a true story.
Yeah,
and
that's no, I think
a,
I heard
yeah, that's a true story. Yeah.
That's pretty good. Is that the best way to get going in business?
Well, you know, you've got to kind of live with yourself, haven't you, really? But, you know, you've got to kind of sneakily admire him.
So, look, you started off. You wanted to be a show jumper when you were a kid.
The rider, obviously, not the actual.
Yeah, a show jumper. that didn't work out. You were a prodigy pianist as a child, I understand.
I was the youngest person ever to get a scholarship to Trinity College of Music. And then I got single-minded about it and decided I didn't want all these people telling me that I had to play the piano. So 2 years later, I gave up.
So how old were you when you got... when you?
I was 7 when I got the scholarship.
Wow.
And 9 when I just said, I'm not playing anymore.
And do you play now?
No. And you know, it's lovely because people think that she's gone. God, give her a piano. She'll be brilliant. And I am genuinely rubbish. I'm like Les Dawson when he's playing all the wrong notes. And right. I'm really bad. So, yeah.
It's interesting to have a talent like that and then decide you're not going to do it, especially at that young an age.
Yeah, I think what happened is it became somebody else's, you know. I loved playing the piano. I just sit and tinker on the piano. And then it became this thing, you know, everybody's really excited about, oh, we've got this child prodigy. And I just, it took it away from me.
Right.
And it is a shame because I don't think, you know, everybody has a talent. And I think it was my natural talent. And it has gone. It is a shame.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
how depressing
does
is
that
this?
Say something? But I think I find it fascinating because I was forced to play the piano and I hated it and I couldn't. They wouldn't let me stop.
Oh, well.
Until then, the only reason I could stop was because
you should have tried harder. I literally sat there with my arms folded.
I was terrible. I was allowed to stop when I started. If I started playing the trumpet, which I was also very bad at, so I was playing musical instruments till I was 18 and hating every minute of it. But that put me off because I kind of wish I'd. In the end, I played the euphonium, which I quite liked.
Oh, wow.
But then when I left school, I didn't have a euphonium anymore because they're quite expensive.
Yes. So you don't play anything now?
I don't play anything. No. I play the fool.
And very well.
Thank you. I do my best. But I find that interesting that you were that, you know, you obviously know yourself and I don't want to say headstrong because that sounds like a negative thing. I mean, you're headstrong in a positive way. You know who you are. And it's interesting as a 9-year-old to make that decision when adults would have been telling you to do something else that you were that sure of.
Well, I was headstrong. I mean, thank you for being nice about it, but I was probably a pain in the neck. You know, I was willful. I think, you know, and you know, it was a really good lesson in business because, you know, this thing about you can't make people do things. You know, you can't make people. You can make people laugh by triggering the laughter, but you can't say, go on, laugh, you know, go on, be good at your job, go on. And I learned that really early on, that if I wanted people to be, you know, to work well with me, they had to have fun, you know, have to enjoy themselves. They had to want to come into work. So I think it was a really good, really early lesson for me.
Yeah. And because you didn't like school much either, is that right? And so you...
Oh, I was actually, come to think of it, I probably was a total pain in the neck as a child. No, didn't like school, couldn't wait to leave. You know, it was getting in the way. I just wanted to get on with life.
And then you did go and you sort of, you know, you've gone out and grab stuff and tried to do things and some things have worked and some things didn't work. So you started out, one of your first businesses was selling stuff from Italy, from glassware and stuff from Italy to back to the UK, which worked for a bit until they realised they didn't need you in the equation.
Basically. Yes, absolutely. And I got myself, I mean, it was only, I got myself into debt with that one. It's only £3,000, but when you haven't got £3,000, you know, it was a lot of money and I had to ask my parents to help me with a bank guarantee. And I hated that so much. You know, it was a really salutary lesson. You know, I thought, I don't want to do that. I don't want to get it wrong again.
Yeah. But, you know, you need to have failure, right, to work out how things work. And no one's going to jump into something like... And it seemed like you just thought, this could work, this is a good idea, and it could have worked, and it sort of did work.
Well, it did, just for somebody else. Yeah, but it was, and the other lesson I learned then, which was an early lesson, was I could so easily, I mean, I was cross and I had them under contract. It was 4 companies. I had them under contract, but I thought, you know what? I can't, I don't want to spend the rest of my life fighting them, you know. So yeah. I learned this thing of saying life is just too short. That's done. I've learned a lesson. I'm going to move on. Yeah. You know, that's and that's, again, I've carried that through life.
Sure. It's sort of interesting to see, you know, how you've built up as well. And how there's sort of chance and luck, but obviously it's about your dedication and your philosophy that's made you as successful as you are. Because starting a business is, I mean, I've accidentally started this, and this has turned into being what is more of a business than I anticipated when I started it.
Brilliant. Yeah. That's do you know, a lot of it is just doing stuff.
Yeah.
You know, and it works or it doesn't work. And if it doesn't work, you move on. And if it does work, you do more of it, isn't it?
Sure.
Isn't that pretty much? Do you know, I'm really, really envious of you. You're sitting there looking really comfortable and my feet can't even touch the ground. So I'm sitting slightly bolt upright.
It's rare that my guest is smaller than me, Deborah. So I'm very...
Is this why you invited me on?
I wanted you on for that exact reason. But but I think there's been sort of showbiz running through your life. So from this desire to be a show jumper, this early musicianship, you were a bingo caller, which is and very good at being a bingo caller, apparently. Was it Butlins in Minehead?
It was Butlins in Minehead, and I was very good, if I say it myself.
I really dreamt of going. We lived in Cheddar, obviously, when I was 8 onwards, and I always wanted to go to Butlins in Minehead, and my mum and dad wouldn't let us go.
Really?
They were too snobby to take us to Butlins.
Really?
Yeah, and I could have seen you calling bingo.
You missed out on so much. You missed out on the Beachcomber bar that had all of those lovely plastic things hanging, Hawaiian things hanging from the ceiling, and then every hour the volcano would erupt. It was amazing.
Oh.
Yeah, you missed that.
Yeah, don't make it worse for me.
Yeah.
and your family were involved in amusement arcades. Did you ever look at the two penny machine that I think there's a game show in that? I can make a quiz.
What, a game show?
The tipping point thing.
I think there's already a show being done called the tipping point.
Yeah, but there wasn't then. You could have spotted that earlier. Was that the moment? I probably gave your family money because I did spend a lot of time in arcades around in the southwest. So I probably gave you some money at some point.
Oh, thank you. But
was it selling? Was that the company that you sold? That was your
no.
Company?
So that was the amusement arcades. Yeah. We had one in Butlins, and then we had 11 in other Haven holiday parks.
Right.
But I could see that that Butlins were going to take those back off us.
Right.
So that's when I suggested we need to get out of that business and get into the holiday park business.
Right. So you got these holiday parks, and then you sold some of it and kept some of it, and then you sold the last bit, and you made a lot of money out of selling it.
I made a bit.
And it's sort of when you're at that point where you've got tens of millions of pounds, is the temptation not to just go? This is all I don't understand about certainly billionaires, right? You get to, I'm a billionaire, I've got, it's a lot more than a million, right? A billion. You kind of think,
yes,
I might just go on holiday. I might just go on holiday now and not do anything anymore. Is the temptation to stop, or was that never a temptation?
No, and it's interesting what you say. There comes to a point where you can't use all the money you've got. So it kind of doesn't matter whether you're a multimillionaire or a billionaire. I mean, for me, I retired for about a week, and then my husband was like, oh, geez, go and do something. Because I was rearranging the furniture, you know, and the grass was coming up and the gardens were changing or whatever. He just said, for goodness sake, do something. Because I actually realised, and it was a lovely thing to realise, I'd spent my life doing the thing I love.
Right.
I love business. You know, I love entrepreneurs. I love the creativity. Nobody thinks of business as creative. It's incredibly creative.
Yeah.
You know, you've got lots of issues you have to deal with all of the time. You're always looking for new opportunity, different ways of presenting things to your customer. You know, I love that. And once I'd realised that, I thought, well, obviously, I need to maybe not work, because I was working great. You know, if you worked at Cheddar, you know when you're in the seasonal business, it's blinking hard work. So I'd work my socks off, and I didn't want to work in a business in the same way, but I wanted to be involved with businesses and help. You know, like to see little seeds grow into big things.
Mm-hmm. So the Dragon's Den sort of came along around about that time, and that was the sort of the perfect thing for you in terms of going, this is a chance to help other people and
it was exactly business, you know, it was magic. I mean, although I did say no when they first call me.
Right.
It's like, no, thank you. No, I've got... My sister had done a TV show and it was a nightmare. And I thought, I've got my life, thank you. I really don't need to get into the spotlight. What am I doing now? I'm on the stage talking in front of people. But yeah, so I said no to start off with, but they persisted, right. Thank goodness.
And was that like it already? Because I always assumed, and I've watched the show, every series of the show, and in my mind, you're in it at the beginning, but you didn't do the first two series.
I didn't. I joined series three.
So was it already on TV when they asked you to join?
It was. Yeah.
So you. Had you watched it before?
I'd watched it a bit. Yeah. I mean, because obviously it was doing the thing that I enjoyed doing, yeah. And I loved it. And it wasn't that I didn't. I thought it was a great show. I just personally didn't want to get into the spotlight. I mean, for goodness sake, I've done Strictly now. I can't even believe I'm saying these words. But I did. You know, I didn't. I created the life that I wanted to have. And I was worried that being in a media spotlight would cut across that life.
Yeah.
Of course, I've learned you can either step into the spotlight or you can get on with your life on a daily basis and occasionally step in. So that's fine.
Well, you've balanced that very well, but you have sort of ended up doing, like you say, Strictly. I really loved you in Murder and Successful, which I thought, but that's when I saw you in that, I just thought, you're so funny in it. It's because obviously on Dragon's Den... It's not a humorous show so much, only the people's unintentionally coming up with terrible ideas that you take the mickey out of. I watched it again today, that episode.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, it's really funny. Yeah.
Well, do you know, I decided, and you know, you literally, you have no idea. So I'll tell you the full story. I misunderstood. I thought it was going to be an Agatha Christie murder mystery. Right. And I thought, I'll enjoy that. I quite like solving crime. Anyway, I turned up and I said, right, so what do you want me to do? And they said, well, do what you feel like. So I said, sorry, there's no script. There is absolutely no direction. So when I said, would you want me to join in? Do you want me to be serious? No, just do what you feel like. Just respond to the moment. But the genius of the people around who have no idea how I was going to respond. Yeah. And I just thought, you know what? I'm going to be me. I'm not an actor, but I want to solve this. I'm just getting a bit annoyed at the end, actually. I was like, can you get serious? We've got a murder to serve here, to solve here. But yeah, so I thought, well, I'm not the funny one here. You know, these guys are very funny. And watching them respond to me, I mean, they were comic geniuses. So it was really their response.
I don't know. I think, because I think you might even in the first episode of it, I think it was maybe the first episode that was shown anyway. But there's a love between you and Tom, there's a lovely relationship. Like he's sort of. It's almost a romance within the show between you and the character.
Really genuinely wasn't a romance.
But it's all.
But to be honest, I mean, he's what, 7 foot? I mean, he's 7 foot. But he's like, I mean, I only had to stand next to him and people were like.
It's very good. Check it out. It's still up on the Channel 4 stuff. So do check that out if you haven't seen it yet. It's very well worth doing. What about a European Super League of self-playing snooker, which is me playing snooker against myself?
You said you weren't going to pitch ideas.
So it'd be good. I tried to get Jurex to sponsor it. I said they were sponsoring it. And then they just have never. I keep on tweeting them and they've not responded. Yeah, I reckon if you gave me £2 million, I could just get it off the ground.
Give you £2 million. Yeah. You understand, it's you invest. Yeah, but we don't give the money.
You would get the reward
like the return
of. You'd get the reward of a beautiful thing.
Actually, any money?
Okay.
Any money? No?
Oh,
no,
it's not going to make any money. I'll tell you that right now. So with Dragon's Den, let's talk about Dragon's Den a bit more. I saw you were on Desert Island Discs this week, very useful for my research, talking about how you've invested around about £5 million over the years you've done it, and you've made a profit on your investments.
I have. No, you know, it's funny. People kind of think once you come onto Dragon's Den, it's kind of a dead cert. But actually, I always say in life, all you've got to do is get more right than you get wrong. And not all of those businesses work for lots of reasons.
Yeah.
Sometimes it just turns into people who think they want to turn their businesses into a big, successful business. When you remove all the barriers, when you say, okay, they are Sainsbury's, yep, go in there. They actually realise that's not what they want. You know, so some deals, I've literally just said, this is not working. Right. You know, this is not a great partnership. Other ones have been absolutely, you know, they're what I saw in the den, you know, they've been vibrant and going for it. So I've got some absolutely cracking businesses, and some of them are just on their way. You know, they were already multi-million pound businesses, but our first goal, you know, we're going to, at 10 million we'll sell. Now it's like, no, at 100 million we'll sell. So right. No, and that, to me, it's, you know, I don't own the majority shareholding. I think one of the biggest joys I get is watching these little seeds turn into something big. And I really love that.
Do you think, and there must be times you get it wrong. I mean, usually you would not invest, I suppose, the ones you get wrong, or you invest in something that doesn't work out. Are there any that you regret not...
The truth of the matter is, Tangle Teas is a brilliant business,
yeah.
And I absolutely got that wrong. And I can't think of a better thing to be wrong about. When somebody goes on to be really successful, you think, do you know what? I got that wrong, and
yeah.
Pretty good on them. But I'm not a regret kind of girl.
No,
you know, you give it your all. You make the offer that you think is the fair offer. You win it or you don't win it. And if you don't win it, I'm not going to spend my time thinking, if only,
yeah.
You know. And so if you're asking me to say reggae sauce, I absolutely am not.
Okay. Which is your favourite of the ones that you have? Back?
Oh,
do you have a favourite?
You can't. That's like asking a favourite. Who's your favourite child?
My daughter.
Oh, okay. Okay. No, I'm a love the one I'm with girl. You know, when I'm in the room, they are the only business in the world for me. You know, but then I walk into, you know, the next room and they're the only business. So I'm a love the one I with.
But is it like a huge amount of work, or is it that they get, you know, because it was about 19 businesses you're involved with from...
Actually, no, 23 now.
Right, 20, okay.
Yeah, it's more. But no, it varies, you see. So some, it's actually usually the smaller businesses that require a lot more attention. And probably the ones that aren't going to get stratospheric, you know.
Yeah.
I've got a lovely business. Martin and Jenny came in. He's got Asperger's. He invented this tiny little thing called Marksman Pen, a little tool that marks a hole in the wall where you're going to put the screw in.
Yeah.
And he came in and said, you know, I've invented this thing. I'm rubbish at numbers. but, you know, that's where you can help me. And that business wasn't never going to be stratospheric. You know, it wasn't going to be huge, but it's still, I feel as strongly about that business as the one that I think is probably going to get to 100 million pounds, you know,
yeah.
Because it's a, you know, it's a business with heart. So I've forgotten what the question was. I'm just beginning to ramble now.
No, it's good.
Did you gather?
It.
Did you hear? Did you? Was I rumbled?
I mean, I sort of enjoy watching it as much for the relationship between the dragons and when... You know, the way you can change each other's minds and the way you're sort of playing a game of poker against each other as well. And who puts the first bid in is often, don't ever put the first bid in because someone will undercut you. But if no one puts the first one in, then you can't.
Well, yes, but then you can turn it on its head and you can say to the entrepreneur, yes, but I was the first person to believe in you, wasn't
right,
I?
That's true.
So, but you're so right. You know, people kind of think that it's the entrepreneur pitching this way, but there is so much going on between the dragons. You know, I'm trying to best guess. So what, you know, are they interested? What level are they going to go at? When am I going to make my offer? You know, but sometimes I do go in absolutely first off to show my intent, to show how interested I am in a business.
Yeah.
Because it isn't always about the money. You know, these people are looking for help. And if you've gone in there first and, you know, been thoroughly supportive, then you probably have a better chance than somebody else who's just said, well, you know, maybe.
Yeah. And it's quite easy, I think, as a dragon, I'm watching it, to be quite, you know, because it's difficult to know, isn't it? If it's not an area of expertise, or even if it is, if it's a new thing, it's hard within that pitch, however long the pitch will be. It's obviously a bit longer.
Yeah, but Richard, you're misunderstanding. We're experts in everything.
Are you? Okay.
Yeah. Have you not heard Evan say we're experts in everything?
Yeah. Okay. But so it's kind of fun when someone's dismissive and then someone else goes, no, actually, this is good. And then you'll get a little bite back from the one who, usually yeah. Peter Jones, who's been too rude about it. Do you all get on? I mean, there's been so many different iterations of the dragons, but was there anyone you didn't get on with, or have you all got on? You don't have to name the people.
So no, I don't mind. So yes, we all get on. We all go out. I probably spend more time with the dragons than I do my husband, because we all, when we're filming, we go out for dinner every night.
Right.
And yes, we all get on. That doesn't mean to say we're all friends. You know, we all get on. We all respect each other. Some of them have become friends. Peter is a friend of mine. Theo's a friend of mine. Sarah Willing's a friend of mine. The lovely Sarah, she's a friend. You know, so I think there's a difference between getting on and being friends. I think the only person I probably haven't had really anything to do with is James Caan. You know, he's the only one that I really haven't picked up on, you know.
Right.
So there you are. I did answer the question. You didn't think I would answer, didn't I?
Yeah, you seemed like a dick. So, it's very interesting watching it. I think you know that, but obviously people go for the. There's a brilliant Harry and Paul sketch, isn't it, with all the nervous.
You might think it's brilliant.
Well, it's not. It's the pitching people being too nervous to speak is really the joke.
I thought you meant the one where he plays me.
I'd forgotten that. So I'm trying. I'm thinking of the nervousness that I'm now doing myself, just to show you how it's done. But it's obviously fun when people spontaneously combust and can't remember what they're doing, and you've intimidated them so far that they.
Oh no! You see, I genuinely don't. I think people think that the dragons enjoy. It's actually really uncomfortable.
Sure.
But the truth of the matter is, and actually we give them a lot more slack than you would see, but that's really boring television, isn't it? For 3 minutes waiting for someone to speak is not good telly.
Sure.
So that gets cut. However, I will say there comes a moment where you think, guys, business is tough. You need to get your act together, because if you can't get your act together in this forum, the minute it gets difficult out there in the big wide world, you're going to crumble.
Sure.
Because we're not just learning about the business, we're learning about the people as well. So we definitely cut them more slack than you think. And actually, some of those pitches, longest pitch I've done is 3.5 hours.
Right.
And you get 10 minutes of it.
Yeah. But you sort of feel as well, it's such an opportunity. If they're coming in, it's such an opportunity. You would imagine that they would at least have got all their figures right, but also have learned what they were going to do and put a little bit of pizzazz, even if it's just for, because I feel, and maybe this is true or maybe it's not, but it feels for some of the people coming to pitch are just going, I can pitch something on TV and it doesn't really matter whether I get the deal or not, because my thing will get an advert on TV.
Well, possibly.
Yeah.
I have actually said that. I've actually said, why are you here? I have to understand what they want.
Yeah.
You know, and if they say it's just the money, I think, yeah, but you can get the money. You can get the money from the bank, or you can get the money from somebody. What, you know, what is it you need? If they can't iterate why they're there, I'm very reluctant to invest, because I think I know what's going to happen here. I'm going to get out of the den. I'm going to do all the work on the due diligence, and you're not going to complete. So I'm getting quite savvy to that.
Okay.
I think.
Yeah. And the this is the thing I think about The Apprentice as well as Dragon's Den. I think Dragon's Den's a lot better than The Apprentice.
So do I. There's the headline.
You're putting that's I think that's right. You're putting your own money in, but they're also paying you to do it.
Well, not, yeah, don't. I, mm.
No. Let's talk about Alan Sugar.
But, yeah.
Yeah, not, but not the same.
Not a huge, no. Okay. It is probably the only show in the world that's cost me nearly £5 million to be in, you know.
Right,
no, that's not fair. I've invested £5 million. And I am on the upside, so I can't
support. Sure, yeah. It's really, that with The Apprentice, say, you sort of think, well, you know, he's giving 500 grand to someone, but he must be making more than 500 grand for doing The Apprentice.
Well, that definitely does not apply to Dragon's Den.
How do you think Alan Sugar would be as a dragon?
I don't know. He did actually come in and pitch to the den once, did for he? Children in Need.
Oh,
yes,
he?
And he was oddly nervous. quite enjoyable moment.
I suppose it's difficult, though. It's you know, you are faced against five. It's one person against five, so it's not very fair. And it's not like, you know, in terms of I've got to convince you people to do stuff. So you can understand why people are nervous. I'm very scared. So you can understand it. You bought house of your home was owned by William Pitt the Elder.
Goodness. Yes, you have done your research. It was indeed.
Have you ever seen his ghost in your house?
I don't think so, no. It's actually, so there's a big main house. Ours is actually one of the farmhouses that he owned. But no, I don't think I've seen any of his ghosts. But he actually did design... We've got a courtyard, lovely outbuildings, weird, isn't it? We don't have a family, there's only two of us. And actually, the house isn't particularly big. People would be quite surprised. It's, you know, it's a Somerset farmhouse. But the outbuildings are absolutely beautiful. And I remember going around going, oh, this barn, this is lovely, this wall, this is lovely. And sort of glancing at the house and going, no, yes, we're going to buy it, you know. And it's the estate agent was like, would you like to look around the house? No, we love the barns. So, yeah, it was
lovely. You're sort of a farmer partly now as well. You've got animals.
No, I've got animals. I'm definitely not a farmer. Okay. I don't know if 3 pigs. Let me try and get this right. 3 pigs, 7 horses, all rescue. Chickens, rescue chickens, pigs. We've just lost one of our rescue pigs. Geese, 3 very angry geese. Okay. Oh, my goodness. They're shirty.
But you're a vegan, right? So this is all just for the love of animals. Keep animals.
Yeah, I think they turned me vegan, to be fair.
Oh, really?
They turned me vegan.
Right. Did you used to eat them?
Well, Paul said to me, Paul, my husband, said to me, he wants to, and this is when I was a meat eater, he would like to raise, and he's absolutely right, if you eat meat, you need to understand the connection between an animal and meat, and he wants to raise some pigs and butcher them. And I said, well, I get it, Paul, but I can't guarantee that if we get these pigs, the day they've got to go off for slaughter, I don't strap myself on their back and say over my dead body because, you know, I'm not sure I can do it. But we did it. I didn't like it. And he didn't actually really like it. But I think if you do eat meat, you do need to understand that connection. And we only did it, I think we did it twice. And right. Then I said, I can't.
That's interesting, though. And it's good.
It's a good lesson. It's a really good lesson. Yeah.
Yeah.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at UH1.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
And you're involved in a lot of animal charities as well, right? So I just wrote a couple of them down, but there was Tusk and the World
WWF. Deaf, yeah. Not the wrestling one, obviously.
Yeah. So do you feel like, and I'm interested in the idea of having loads of money. I would quite like, I'd quite like it. I think, you know, I've got some money. I've got enough money that I'm happy with, but the next stage is, you know, £1 million wouldn't. I don't want £1 million.
Oh, how many millions do you want?
It's not. It would be no use to me £1 million.
Right.
Wouldn't change my life £1 million.
No.
But if I had £50 million, that would change my life. So right. That's quite. But it's quite difficult to get £50 million.
From your ideas, absolutely.
But having £50 million, once you've bought a house and some pigs. there's still a lot left over, and so like is the charity, because I you know it'd be nice to become what you don't see is people who say I don't like the way the world is, I don't like capitalism, so like what you could do though is like undercut capitalism and make the money yourself and then give that money away, or you could become a millionaire billionaire and give all the money away.
Well,
do you feel like the charity is a part of what you always wanted to do, or?
Definitely. I don't see value, and this is really easy to say, and you know, I said it on Desert Island Disc. It's very easy to say when you've got money, it's not about the money. But I mean that money itself is nothing unless you do something with it, you know. And my doing with it is investing in businesses, mainly startup, mainly small businesses, you know, and that feels good because that's often life-changing for the people I'm investing with. And then leaving, seeing things that you think are not right and being able to do something about it. So I don't really want my money sitting. I don't want to visit my money in a bank. You know, I want to know that it's out there changing things. That's definitely my approach to charity. What I never do, by the way, so I won't talk about it here, is talk about any money I give to charity.
No, sure.
I'm quite happy to talk about charities I support, but I think for me it's a very private thing.
Yeah, but you do, even with the dragons, then you have a social conscience more than some of the other dragons, I'd say, in that you are very interested in the ethical companies. But do you feel that, you know, especially again with the, there seems to be these people who are just obsessed with being billionaires and being bigger billionaires and bigger billionaires and not looking at the damage they're doing to the world or the planet or the people. And the sort of short-sightedness of that when it comes to the point where the world is no longer, you can't live on the world anymore.
Yeah.
You do seem to have an understanding of that, you know.
I hope so. I also don't feel I would have a right to talk about the issues if I don't let it affect my life. You know, I can't sit here and say, right, everybody out there, you need to stop doing A, B, and C, D. You know, everything I talk about, we do at home. We try to reduce our footprint. You know, I stopped buying clothes in fact, I bought a top and a dress in 2 years. That's it. No handbags, no shoes, nothing. Because the fashion industry is an issue. And if I'm going to worry about something, this is something I've learned. There's no point worrying about stuff. You need to do something about it, you know. And I can't talk about it unless I do it.
Sure, but that's a nice. Not many people get into that position where they could do something about it. So it's very exciting to find yourself in that position.
Yeah,
it's admirable that you are you are caring about it. It just sort of. You're working alongside, not saying the show, but I mean in the world of business, against people who are pushing the planet towards destruction.
Well, yes, but I will actually say that, and certainly in the last 12 months, I've heard too much greenwash go on for years. You know, we do this and we do that. What can we say we do in our business to say it's green? But actually, I've noticed a proper change, and I think that's because the customer gets it now.
Yeah.
You know, customers are in the driving seat. You know, we've got all the power with our pounds. I think we know it now.
Yeah.
You know, we're starting to act in a way that says we don't like what you're doing. We're not spending money with you. And that's going to drive any business that ignores that is not going to survive. So, you know, listen to the customer and respond.
Yeah, because I felt with Amazon during the, you know, a lot of the businesses did well out of COVID.
Mm.
And you sort of feel like if Amazon just said, look, we made 5 billion more than we would have made this year, we're going to give £1 billion to the NHS. Then everyone would have just gone, great, I don't feel bad about you. I mean, I use Amazon all the time. But I wouldn't feel bad about it if they'd done that.
Yeah.
And, you know, it just seems to me if they'd done that, that would have been worth, that would have been, or just paid, said we're paying our taxes this year.
Yeah. Well, just
properly.
Paying your taxes would be good, wouldn't it?
It would. But it's sort of, you know, you'd think that would be good. There's the news stories we're recording today about Timpsons, who always seem very good. They're a key cutting company, but they treat their staff very well and employ prisoners, and they've got, they're paying people's HRT treatment stuff back.
So
the new, and just stuff like that, you get so much publicity out of it anyway, it's going to be good, but I don't think they're necessarily doing it just for that reason.
No, well, that's what I was going to say. I think that we're shifting from the time where businesses are saying things because they think that's what their customers want to hear, to actually getting it properly embedded in businesses. Mm. You know, companies like that who are doing it because they think it's the right thing to do. And that's when I look at my businesses, you know, when we talk across our businesses, the lovely thing is I've got businesses that are driving me. You know, normally I'm going in there going, what are we doing about this? What are we doing about that? But particularly the next generation businesses coming through, you know, they're constantly pushing at the, look, we want to do this. We want to give that to charity. We want to give, you know, this much of our profits. We want to be green. We want to have a social conscience. And that to me is, that's like manna from heaven. I just sit there and think, there's hope.
Well, hopefully there's hope. Otherwise, you know, people will be sitting there with a billion pounds. And just like, you know, you're sitting if you're sitting there with £1 billion as the Earth depends, suddenly there comes a point, though, that because money is like is a construct, right? And it's an imaginary thing, really.
Yeah.
So if everyone just decided, I'm not going to accept money tomorrow,
there would be I'd have to go and learn play the piano, wouldn't I? Or something even useful, even. Yeah.
But they probably won't. Everyone like, I like it. I like money.
No, you like the things you can do with money.
No,
you like money.
I just like a big pile of money, and then that'll be fine. Luckily, the monthly badges. Yeah. Oh, dear. So, with Strictly, was that a difficult decision to do Strictly, or was that I'm jumping in?
Well, again, you see, out of the blue they asked me to do Dragons, and out of the blue they asked me to do Strictly, and I thought my first response, because I always think why, and my older sister is my best friend, and I went to Gail and I said they'll ask me to do Strictly, and I'm not sure, and she said, well, why not? Do you want to do it? And I went, well, yeah, I want to do it. I mean, it's Strictly. She said, well, then why are you asking why? You know, do it because you want to do it. And, I mean, who wouldn't want to do it? Would you want to do it?
I wouldn't
want to
do it.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
I think partly because I'd be bad.
That doesn't matter.
Partly because I think that it's sort of a level, I'm not like interested in that level of celebrity and that level of the...
Not dancing? Do you like dancing?
I don't like dancing that much. I don't like dancing that much. But I also don't. If you say you're going to do that sort of stuff, then you're saying I'm happy being at that level of celebrity, which is a bit intrusive, I think, possibly.
Well, I don't know. So I tell you what it did for me. So the reason I wanted to do it, I wanted to learn to dance from the, you know, the best people in the world. I wanted to dress up. I loved it as a show.
Yeah.
Oddly, it did a lovely thing for me. So before Strictly, everybody, I'd walk past people in the street and they'd go, that's that woman from Dragon's Den. You know, nobody would say hello because I think, you know, people see me on Dragons and think she can't smile despite the, you know, laughter lines. After Strictly, they saw a very human side of me.
Sure.
So I still didn't get, you know, it wasn't like people rushing up and asking for an autograph, but people would smile and, you know, and hug and be lovely.
Yeah.
So for me, it did something very lovely.
Sure. You know, I don't think they'd like me. They go, there's that bloke who can't dance and seems a bit of a dick. Which is, you know, that's pretty much. What about a finger that can travel through time? Would you invest if I can make a finger travel?
What?
A finger that can travel through time.
Why?
Because you can poke people in the past.
So have they still got buses?
You could poke a pin. You can go anywhere in time.
In this future that they're travelling through time, they've still got buses.
You can go in the future, you can put your finger, can go into the future, the past. It'll be your finger, just your finger, though.
Yeah. No, I don't know why I'm doing this now. I think as you mentioned finger, I feel like, yeah.
You could go and alter time or put your finger in the future and see what it would be like for fingers in the future.
I think are thinking this isn't really a very good idea, aren't you?
Well, I don't know how to do the time travel bit yet. I'm being realistic and saying I'm only sending a finger. So I'm not over-egging it.
No.
I think it would take £10 million.
I don't think you're convinced. Because I'm not.
I'll give you 60% of the business.
You can throw as many numbers out as you like. I'm still not interested.
If I can travel in time, I could get the money to make the business and then I could travel back in time and change it so you didn't give me the money and keep the money.
Hold on, I'll
come back.
Have I got the money or not got the money?
I've just stolen the money off you in a brilliant heist. I've got a question here, which we sort of covered, but I'll ask you anyway because I like the fact I wrote it down. Why are billionaires such dicks?
I don't think they all are, aren't they? How many billionaires do you know?
I don't know. I don't think I know any billionaires.
There you go.
You know, I see them on the telly. Would you use your money to go into space? Do you think that's a good use?
No, I wouldn't. No. Now, I actually think there is a point that says we've got a lovely planet here. I'm actually not interested in going out of space. I think I'd feel really lonely. being disconnected, looking back at the world and thinking that's down there and I'm up here. I just wouldn't, it's just not my... Ugh.
Do you think they're doing the right thing for their business, though? If they are trying to make a space tourism business, then obviously sending themselves and then sending Captain Kirk into space.
I think they've got more money than sense, is what I honestly think. I think that they've got and something to prove. I don't know. Yeah. Anyone else notice that rocket, the shape of the rocket?
They did. I think so. I think it was noticed.
I was the only one.
I think they got me was just Jeff Bezos coming down and saying, I couldn't have done any of this without all the people who work for Amazon and all the kind of thinking, yeah, they must be delighted
They spent their money.
Thanks, guys. You sent me into space with all your hard work. Okay, I'll ask you a would you rather question from my new book that you haven't. Did you genuinely look at my other book?
I looked at the other book. Yeah. Then and
now,
and
now you can't. You can't. If you had the power to stop one disaster, would you prevent the Great Fire of London or the volcanic eruption that destroyed Pompeii?
Yeah, who's saying no? Because I agree. You're like, no, you can't choose between those two.
You can. Would you?
I can't.
Well, they
How
both.
How many people died in the Great Fire of London?
Not that many, actually. That is a handful.
Was like, it?
Yeah.
All right. How many people died in Pompeii?
Loads.
Well, there you are then.
So you just save the people.
I'd save people.
But how many people today make their living from showing people around Pompeii?
You, if you're not careful, you're gonna become a billionaire dick. You do know that.
All right. I'll do you another one. Hold on. Let's have a look. I won't ask you that, Deborah. I've got too much respect for you.
Thank you very much.
I'm going to have to go through quite a lot before I find one that... would you rather have all your teeth fall out and be replaced with the teeth of a Neanderthal man or woman, or have all your hair fall out and be replaced with the wire from a Brillo pad?
Actually, this will surprise you. Wire from a Brillo pad, I think. Yeah, no, the thought of somebody else's teeth in my mouth.
But your hair is so beautiful, Deborah. Imagine
That's really why I said that.
Okay. I mean, you know, I think it's the right... Well, it's probably the right choice. Yeah. You wear a hat. I mean, Neanderthal men's teeth are really horrible. I have to tell you, they're not nice-looking teeth. All right.
And they've been in somebody else's mouth.
They have. They've been in a Neanderthal men's mouth. But, you know, he doesn't need them anymore. Would you rather be the world's worst shepherd or the world's only talking sheep?
Why am I the world's worst shepherd?
Well, I guess you're not very good at being a shepherd.
But you're
still employed as a shepherd. So you must be good enough to stay employed, but only if anyone else came in and went, I'll have a go at being a shepherd, they go, yeah. You could take Deborah Meaden's place, you shit.
Yeah, see, the trouble with the sheep thing, though, is that everybody would be looking at you all the time, wouldn't they?
If you were a talking sheep.
Yeah, you'd be carted around the country. So I actually think I'd rather be a shepherd.
I'd rather be a human than a sheep. And, you know, we haven't...
You didn't give me that option.
Well, your shepherd is a sheep.
You're just
a
making shepherd's the rules.
A shepherd's
you are just
a human.
Making the rules up as
course,
we go along.
Of course I am. But also, you know, we don't know how much the sheep can say. Or what language are speaking? What if it's speaking and all it can say is "bah"? That's the Twilight Zone version of this. All right, one more. Would you rather go into suspended animation and not wake up for 5 years or 500 years?
Oh, five.
You like come back in five? You wouldn't like to see 500 years in the future?
Not really. No. No.
Think if you just before you went in, you put all your money in like a national savings interest account. 10%.
That's definitely 500 years. That is definitely not going to do me in 500 years, is it? Definitely 5 years. No, 5 years. I'd like to see my life. I'd like to see things I recognise.
Yeah.
People I know.
It would be lonely, wouldn't it? 500 years time.
It would be a bit.
And there's no guarantee there'll be. Do you think people will still be around in 500 years?
Well, it might all be talking sheep by then.
It could be. It could very well be. What's your favourite of all the celebrity things? Is it strictly that they've come out of being on Dragon's Den? So you've done Antiques Roadshow, the trip thing. You've done lots of shows like this. What's the favourite of all those things that have been presented to you as a celebrity rather than a businesswoman.
Strictly was amazing.
Yeah.
I did have an absolute ball on Murder and Successful because I was totally bewildered the whole time. I got to the end of the day and literally thought, what just happened? You know, how did that work? So no, I really enjoyed that too.
Yeah.
And I like things like Would I Lie to You? I enjoyed doing.
Yeah, of course. Would
that's
I Lie?
Great. Yeah.
I've never been on Would I Lie to You?
Oh really?
Yeah.
Ah.
You know, I'm annoyed.
He's never been on Would I Lie to You? There was an advert for
they,
you.
They know. They know I've never been on. I've had all of them on this, but.
All right. Yeah. Oh gosh, what more have you got to do?
Do you think I can come on Dragon's Den?
I'd be good on Dragon's Den.
If I did some work on one of these ideas. Mm. What about bringing my podcast empire? So if I'd come on 10 years ago and said, I'm starting doing podcasts, I reckon in 10 years there might be adverts and stuff and they might make some money. Would you have invested in the idea of someone doing a podcast? Because that is now not necessarily this particular one. But in America, certainly like Joe Rogan's show is probably making more money than anything that we can think of.
Well, I will obviously say yes, I would obviously be invested.
What do you think of it as an investment opportunity now, if you could invest in
and the right people with the right podcast, absolutely.
Okay. You've made the right choice in recognising this one as a useless example, but... but I do find it is interesting, and what you're saying as well, it is sort of, I absolutely only started doing this out of, I was just annoyed at how difficult it was to, you know, go through the process of doing everything else, so I could just do whatever I want, and all comedians would go, you're mad, why are you doing this, you're not getting paid for doing this, you're insane. And I just want to get my stuff out there and do something I like and not have anyone else do.
And when you want to do, you know, on your terms.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I guess a lot of businesses sort of start in that way.
Yeah. I think most businesses start in that way. You know, people have an itch that they want to scratch. And I think a lot of the reasons people start their own businesses, and I do have to guide them sometimes, is because they want to be in control of their own destiny. Well, that is very true when you're your own business, but there are definitely times when your business is running you. You know, you've got to give it whatever it needs. So I do have to say to people, don't think it's, you know, well, I can take the holidays when I want, I can leave when I want. You know, it's sometimes your business, it needs a lot of your time and attention.
And what would you do to take my podcast empire to the next level? What one piece of advice do you have?
I think you're the expert in this room, aren't you?
I am.
Always know the expert in the room.
So
know the expert.
I don't know. See, with this though, so it's interesting, like you say, with the guy with the DIY thing, is you knowing your audience. And I think like so with podcasts, a few podcasts have kind of in the UK have tried to push on a bit and become a bit more sort of high tech and a bit more. Well, one of them had a big advert on the Leicester Square. Leicester Square, didn't it? It had a big billboard. I can't remember which one it was. And then podcast fans, though, didn't really like it.
There's a relationship.
There's that element where you're going to go, oh, has it moved on to something that...
Yeah. Well, it's interesting because I had a chat with a chap called Jack, Jack's Happy Hour. I don't know if you know, he does a podcast. And he was saying the same thing, you know, that it's kind of, it is me. And if I try to do sort of whizzy-worry things, it would break the relationship and it would break the trust. You know, the contract that you've got with your audience, really, isn't it? You know, they know you, they know what you're like, they know what the type of thing you're going to say. You know, suddenly you started behaving oddly. It's exactly the same with a business, you know. If you've got a business that people believe, these are their values, these are their ethics, and suddenly you get a new marketing person coming in and change the tune. Everyone goes, whoa, hold on a minute.
Yeah.
You know, I don't like that. So no, I think you've got to stick to your values, haven't you? Stick to what you are.
All right. It pays the bills, Deborah. It pays the bills, I suppose.
And we get to do this.
I do. It's lovely. And I get to meet fantastic people.
Like me.
Yeah. And then they...
He didn't finish that sentence. Did anybody notice that? It's okay. I'll say it.
What have you got lined up? Is there another series of Dragon's Den?
We've actually filmed the next series of Dragon's Den. We have a new dragon. We have the youngest dragon ever.
5 years old?
Yeah.
Pocket money.
He sits on my lap. Yeah, he does sit on my lap. Yeah, Stephen Bartlett. who himself has a very successful podcast. Okay. So, yeah. So he's fantastic. We're all filmed and in the can and already talking about dates for next year.
And do you think you're going to... Because it does... The cast is ever changing. Peter Jones, I suppose, is the only... He's
the original.
In every series.
Sorry, no, he's the oldest.
The oldest. Is it something you're going to carry on doing forever, do you think?
Well, not forever, because I'm going to die one day.
No, you might.
It's not, you know,
not with my time traveling finger, you know.
Oh, that's true. There you are. No, I'm going to do it as long as I want to do it. You know, as long as I sit in that chair and get excited when the entrepreneurs come in, because we're filming for 8 hours a day. You can't, you know. I don't have to do that. It's not my job. No. You know. I've got to enjoy it. And there have been times when I thought maybe it's time now. And then I sit down in that chair and the first entrepreneur comes in and I think, oh, I love this. So, yeah, as long as I enjoy it. And as long as I think I can add value, you know.
And it's an astonishing, you know, show. It still feels fresh to me. It still feels exciting to me. And it's, you know, you've done this many series of this. It has existed for this many series and all over the world, of course. But it's still going.
Yeah.
It feels like it's not going to... It feels like you guys would stop it rather than the BBC would stop it to me at this stage.
Well, I don't know. Who knows? Who knows what's in the BBC's mind? But no, I think if you told me when I first started that AI would be in it or B, it was still going 15 years later, 16 years later, I would be staggered. Because if you think about it, it's a pretty static format. You know, it's not... We don't change it. Five chairs, five dragons. But of course, you get the fantastic entrepreneur. You know, your cast changes all of the time.
Yeah.
Not in terms of the dragons, in terms of the entrepreneurs, you know. And what I love, I people watch it, you know, grandchildren with great-grandparents will watch it, through to great-grandparents will watch it, and everybody will have a view, you know. Oh, she won't like that. Or, you know, so everyone, they're kind of engaged. I think that's why it's successful.
Yeah.
Everyone engages with it.
It's a terrific show. It's very well, it's good to parody as well, but it's, but it works. It works very well as a show.
I met Harry Enfield just after he'd done me, and I walked up to him with an absolute deadpan face and I went, "Mr. Enfield, I want a word with you." And he went white, absolutely white. And then I laughed and I said, "You know what? I'm A, flattered, and B, it was very fun." So,
terrific. Well, we'll look forward to seeing whatever else comes up. What other, do you think you'll end up on any other celebrity based programs?
I'm never doing I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here.
Gone, you'd be
telling
great.
You that now. Did you say gone?
I said go
that
on.
Was very it. West country. Gone. Cider apples. I would do something that I wanted to do. Yeah. You know, I don't want to be on television. I want to do things that I want to do.
Sure.
So I can't think of anything now that I'd want to learn. But you know, if something came up,
sure. Yeah. Well, it's all very exciting, and I hope Dragon's Den carries on for many, many more years, and I hope you do as well.
Oh, thank you. Well, I'm feeling well enough now, thank you, Richard.
I hope I do as well. I'm the most likely to go. Ladies and gentlemen, please give a massive round of applause to the amazing Deborah Meaden. Do come and see us next week, Miriam Margolyes and Emma Dabiri. So come along and steal some tickets. Thank you very much. You have been listening to Rahala Stupper with me, Richard Herring, and my guest, Deborah Meaden. Scant Regard are playing this music right now. They're doing it live. It's incredible. Thank you very much to my producer, to whom I'm indebted, Ben Walker, and also to Chris Evans, Not That One, and everyone at the Leicester Square Theatre, and everyone at GoFasterStroke.com, and anybody else, the British Comedy Guide, lots of people. This is the Fuzz, Go Faster Stripe, and Sky Potato production. Head to GoFasterStrike.com for all your Richard Herring download and book needs.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Thanks for listening. Do come and see me on tour. RichardHerring.com/gigs is the easiest way to find out where I'm going. And GoFasterStripe.com, you can buy books and downloads. And just tell your friends about the podcast. If you can't make it to the tour show, if you don't want to buy any products, then every time you listen to an advert, you're helping us make more podcasts with a very, very tiny micro payment. So thank you very much for that. I love you all. It's lovely to meet you on tour, by the way. Hello to everyone who's said hello so far. I do come and say hello after the show. If you enjoyed it, if you want to see me, that'd be nice. You can get a selfie. I don't care. I'm a selfie whore. All right, see you soon.